coffee bean industry has supported families in the highlands of Ethiopia for generations, but the amount farmers here get for a kilogram of beans has fallen a third to just 29 cents, or less than a cent a cup, as global coffee prices have slumped to their lowest level in nearly 13 years. Ethiopian farmers export most of their coffee in bulk as green, unroasted beans. It's the processes that follow that add the greatest value and usually take place in the countries that consume the coffee.
General Motors steers clear of the pileup of corporate profit warnings so far this year. America's largest automaker expects good times ahead. On Friday, GM said its 2018 earnings would be better than what it previously forecast and that 2019 won't be bad either, as it expects profits to grow. GM's bullish outlook is a relief to investors concerned with a general slowdown in auto sales in GM's two biggest markets, China and the U.S.
A few years ago in South Africa, any man wanting a manicure or their eyebrows threaded would have to head to a female salon. But these men-only parlors in Joburg are part of a growing market for male grooming. Last year, image-conscious gents spent well over half a billion US dollars on beauty products in the country. The traditional macho mentality in South Africa has begun to give way to a fashion-forward middle class, taking care of their appearance and sometimes just in need of a good pampering.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's January 15th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for being here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Lots to cover this morning on the program. We will, of course, have the latest news, weather, and sports. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about time management this year. And personal enhancement, personal growth enhancement for the coming year. We will get into that momentarily. A little bit later in the program, Michael Lev will be here from the Chicago Tribune editorial board talking about the pedway and perhaps things that we could do to make the pedway a little bit better. That'll be at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. With futures pointing toward opening gains a little bit later on Wall Street, Dow futures are up 98 points this morning, which is about a half a percent. S&P futures are up about a third. NASDAQ futures up a little bit more than a half a percent this morning. Around the globe, markets in Europe are mixed, with the FTSE in London a fraction higher. The DAX and the CAC are a little bit higher as well. In Asia, markets are generally in the green. The Nikkei back to business today after a day off yesterday, up about a percent, 159 points. The Hang Seng up 531 points, which is about 2%. The Shanghai is up about a percent and a third. And oil prices this morning at $51.11 a barrel, which are up just about 60 cents or a percent higher than they were yesterday. There is a couple of big stories that we're watching this morning. Theresa May could today enter the British history books by suffering the worst defeat of any UK prime minister in a parliamentary vote. British politicians will vote on the Brexit withdrawal deal today. It's expected to be rejected by UK politicians by between 180 and 229 votes. This vote will be heavily watched for. Politicians are concluding a five-day debate on the advantages and disadvantages of May's preferred form of Brexit. One of the Houses of Parliament yesterday voted down this deal. There is news this morning about Gymboree. The company said to be close to filing for bankruptcy protection. The Wall Street Journal reports the children's clothing retailer is planning for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this week. Sources say Gymboree will likely liquidate and close all 900 stores. The retailer is also thinking of selling its business at the brand level in order to save its high-end Janie and Jack line from liquidation. Ford and Volkswagen are ready to announce an alliance to combine work on commercial vehicles and grow into jointly developing electric and self-driving vehicles. The announcement expected to come down today at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. In recent months, Ford and Volkswagen have discussed working together on vans and other commercial vehicles. They've stressed any expanded alliance would not involve any sort of merger. Ford and Volkswagen have scheduled a joint conference call this morning to lay out their plans. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Dale Buss from the Detroit Auto Show, so please mark that on your calendar. GM is already at the center of controversy following announcements it will shutter five plants and lay off thousands of employees. But Michigan's Democratic Representative Debbie Dingell says the company's announcement to build its revived Chevy Blazer in Mexico is causing more frustration. Dingell says after the company plans to cut its jobs, it's already the most disliked company in Washington, saying it has not been a good symbol. It is not a good symbol to announce the production shift for a GM. Alaska Air plans to hire thousands of new workers this year. Alaska Air said yesterday it will add more than 3,000 jobs at Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air. About three-quarters will be in Washington state. The jobs will include maintenance technicians, airport operations, customer service, cargo specialists, flight attendants, and pilots. Seattle-based Alaska Air says the openings will be posted online, and most do not require previous airline experience. We are starting front and center this morning with some New Year's resolution. How would you like to better your career this year? Maybe get better at time management, a little bit of personal growth as well. We're happy to have with us David Nagel, who is a life coach and best-selling author of Millions Within and The Art of Success. David, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's good to have you on this morning. As I mentioned, this is sort of a New Year's resolutions segment. I know some people hate doing those, but it's kind of good to take stock at the beginning of the year how we might better our careers, be better employees, manage our time better, improve our personal growth. What would be, at the start of the new year, your best advice to people?
Well, I think one of the most significant things, and I think one of the reasons that people don't like making New Year's resolutions is because they don't follow through on them and actually get the result they're looking for. But if a person would sit down and write out what they really want instead of what they think they can accomplish or what they have to accomplish, but something that's really coming from their heart, a real true desire, it would be a great start in actually changing habits and changing ways of being throughout the year so they actually get the result that they want.
David, I know you've written and talked a lot about and people sometimes feel stuck in their positions, whether they be a on-the-line worker or they work in the C-suite or they're starting a new business. That feeling of being stuck is probably one of the worst. How do you get past that?
So this is a great question, okay? So I was a high school dropout, lived in Chicago, and was working on a dock driving a forklift. I was the epitome of being stuck. I was raising a family and had no idea how to get out. Believe it or not, in my book, The Millions Within, the first thing that I changed was my attitude. I hated where I was, I hated what I was doing, and I didn't much care for the people that I was working with. So I decided I'm going to start there. I'm going to change that because I tried to change everything else and nothing worked. I changed the way that I was seeing things, and what that allowed me to do was it allowed me to see opportunity that would take me further in life. So I started acting like I loved what I did. I did every job to the very best of my ability, and I started treating people with respect. And I know that that sounds oversimplified, but in 1 month I tripled my income and then went on to be a millionaire from there. And that was the only thing that I changed in the beginning.
I know there were some other things that happened to you as a young man and early on in your life that helped push you forward. Sometimes this requires some drastic measures, more drastic measures, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The most significant thing for me was I was water skiing on the Illinois River in 1989, in September of 1989, and I had an accident. I got separated from the boat and I was sucked through the dam in Marseilles. And I was one of only two people that ever survived going through it at that time. I don't know, maybe people have since, but it really woke me up to the idea that life is short. Now, I was in my early 20s back then, and, you know, when you're in your 20s, you think you're invincible and you're going to live forever. But what it did for me was it gave me a sense of urgency about life, and it said, you know what, you need to stop screwing around. If you're going to do something, you need to get serious about it now. And it was after that I decided I'm going to change the way that I view everything that I do in my life and see if that makes a difference. I didn't know if it would, and it absolutely did. Doors started opening for me that I didn't even know were there once I began to do that. And I think that when I work with people, one of the first things that we do is we get them to see things different than they've been trained or programmed to see them all of their life. Because opportunity is here for every person. We were born to be a success. On my website, I have a free download called You Were Born to Be a Success. It's at davidnagel.com. And it teaches people that everybody has a purpose here. You weren't born to suffer. You weren't born to work in a dead-end job. You weren't born not to get the promotion. You weren't born to live month to month. You were born to succeed. You were born to thrive. And it teaches people how to do that.
I like one of the other things that you talk about, too. And you talk about finding what it is that you think you want to do or what you feel like you want to do. So look forward a little bit and then kind of work backwards. Think of the outcome and how to get there and how to work through it and find the simplest way to get to it. I like that idea.
It's a fantastic idea. I always start with the end in mind. What is the result that I want to create? Because that's what I'm most in harmony with. And then I ask myself, what decision do I have to make to get there? What's the very first decision that I have to make to get there? And then there's one more question a person has to ask, and I think that this one is the hardest. What are you willing to do to get to that place or to achieve what you want? You have to be willing to say yes to whatever it is that shows up in your life that's going to allow you to propel yourself. There is a measure of personal growth that comes into the whole factor. You have to be willing to grow and change somewhat in order to get the things that you want in life. If you're not willing to do that, you're going to stay stuck and frustrated, and I do believe that's where people stop when they set a New Year's resolution. They don't change the right things or enough of the right things to get the result. They don't exercise their commitment muscle to do that, and then they get frustrated and they say, well, why am I doing this, so I'm going to quit. If they would just change that attitude about their commitment and their willingness to step into new things, they would find that everything that they said that they wanted in a long-term effect would start to show up in their life, and it actually can happen really quick. We take people from anywhere from $100,000 a year to $300,000 a year and have them over $1 million in 12 months or less.
David, before the break, we were talking about how yes is a word that you have to use a lot, but no sometimes too, and you have to be prepared for failure. I know you write a lot about that in some of your books.
I do. You know, one thing that kind of makes us all equal around the world is we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And the thing that separates everybody when it comes to success is what they do in that 24 hours. So when you make a New Year's resolution or you set a goal of any kind, you've got to allot the time, you know, say yes to the time that is going to take to achieve that goal, but you have to say no to whatever was filling up that time before. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. So you have to leave time for yourself, time for your family, time for your worship, whatever it is that's important to you, but you have to set aside time for that goal, and whatever was taking up that space has got to go.
Time management is, I know, hard for a lot of folks, but it requires sort of like a military clock almost, doesn't it? A military mindset.
Yeah, it kind of does. You know, the late Earl Nightingale, who worked in Chicago for many years and was on the radio there, he used to say, you don't manage time, you manage activities. He said that time can't actually be managed. So I think that's the idea, that you determine how much time you're going to spend doing a certain activity to get you where you want to go every day, and you stay consistent in that activity until you get the desired result.
David, January is National Mentoring Month. You have mentored quite a few important people in your career, Tony Robbins among them, Bob Proctor. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of mentoring, not only giving it, but receiving it as well.
Well, I think that, you know, in today's age, we're moving so fast, we really do not have time for experience. We need leverage. Experience takes too long. So we need to go to other people who have achieved what it is that we want or something similar, and we need to leverage what it is that they know. Actually, Tony Robbins mentored me, and he taught me that principle, that we need to take what other people do, what they have achieved. We need to learn how to get there shorter and in a faster period of time by getting, you know, because they know all the mistakes. They've made the mistakes already, so let's condense it down into something that's productive and then follow their lead. And that could save us 10 years in setting a goal and ending up where it is that we want to be.
I know sometimes it's difficult to find a mentor. What advice would you give folks for that? I mean, is it something that does the mentor find you, or is there are there ways where you can find the mentor?
Very often it's serendipitous. Two people meet not realizing that they're actually looking for each other. But if you're consciously looking for a mentor, you want to find somebody that has the same or similar results that you're looking for, but is 100 miles ahead of you, not one or two steps ahead of you, and never as the person that lives next door. Look for somebody who is way ahead of you, and approach them by asking how you can help them. I always believe, you know, start with trying to make their life better, and they're going to reciprocate with you very easily.
The first step in doing a lot of what you've been talking to us about this morning is very difficult for some. Give us one thing that we can start doing this morning that would help us on the road.
I think that one of the first things that you could do is write down what it is that you want. Write your goal down. Another thing that I got from Earl Nightingale was he said, writing causes thinking. So as you begin to write your goal down, more things are going to come to you that you want or that you want to express. And as you write those things down and you look at them every day, you're going to imprint that idea on your subconscious mind, and it's going to help fuel the desire for you to get it.
Well, David, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Thanks for the advice, and have a wonderful 2019.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
David Nagel, life coach, micro-business mentor, and author of Millions Within and The Art of Success. You can find more online at davidnagel.com. That's NEAGLE.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. The Chicago Pedway links more than 50 downtown buildings, and as well as the CTA Red and Blue Line stations, as some metro stations as well. Stretches under a good portion of the city. Some are asking, is it time to do a little bit better with the Pedway, make it a little bit better? Following some reporting in the Chicago Tribune, there's a new Chicago Tribune editorial board piece about this as well. We're happy to have with us Michael Lev, who is a member of the Tribune's editorial board, to talk a little bit about this morning. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So let's set the stage here a little bit. This discussion sort of started in the Tribune with a piece that our friend Mary Wisniewski did about the Pedway and just some of the things that happened down there and the way it looks sometimes. Give us a sense of why.
Right. Well, I think it starts with, partly because journalists are curious, and a lot of us had not had any knowledge of the Pedway. You know, the Pedway is there. It's this long kind of maze of passageways and underground hallways and things that connect buildings, as you say. And it sure makes a lot of sense to have that, right, in a city like Chicago, where we have more than our share of bad weather. But where the heck is the thing? To me and to a lot of people, we'd heard about the Pedway, but it was a little bit like the secret train station in the Harry Potter books. You know, if you were in the know, it was great. And if you're not, then you're missing out on something. And so there have been a couple of pieces written about it, one, like you said, by Mary. And we followed up with it because it's such a wonderful, practical little part of Chicago, and yet it's secret Chicago. And that was frustrating. And then when you actually go down there and you use the maze of hallways and retail kind of based little passages and things, parts of it are really nice and parts of it are kind of gross. The idea is we can do better, and it starts with let's tell people about it and let's get some better signs, because if you're walking on Randolph Street above it, you have no idea where it is and you don't know which buildings to use it to enter unless someone tells you.
Yeah, and especially in the wintertime and in bad weather, it can be a lifesaver for you if you have to go between these buildings. You don't have to go outside at all. It's climate controlled. I was surprised that this has been around since 1951.
Right, yeah, you mentioned about the connecting the red and blue lines. That's where it started. It expanded from there. It's not a comprehensive plan system, and no one controls the whole thing, whoever owns the building through which there is an entrance and exit underground, that's who runs it. So, for example, let me make it personal, because so I take the train in and I walk along Randolph Avenue heading to the Tribune newsroom on Prudential Plaza. And, you can either tough it out on Randolph there when it's 5 degrees, or you can go underground. But I didn't know where it was. And it took me a couple different times to find out. I can go in the Daily Center, go down the escalator, and you're in the basement of Daily Center, and there are all these people walking back and forth, and you follow the path, and you I head toward the lake, because that's where my building is, so I'm going through the Daily Center, and then you end up in Block 37, the really nice shopping mall, and there you're in the basement of a shopping mall with sandwich shops, and it's great. And then you're underground by Macy's, and it's a little dimly lit hallway there, and that's where it's gotten. We've written about this, and Macy's knows this, and that's where it's gotten. It's a little gross down there sometimes. You go past that, you go through the train stations, the cultural center, and then under Michigan Avenue. So you save yourself from the traffic stop there, and then it goes up. It's in Prudential Plaza and goes to Aon. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
If someone tells you about it.
Exactly. And there's something that we discovered, too, moving over here at 303 from Tribune Tower. There are restaurants. There are places to eat. Things that you would not even know about if you were above ground, and it's so close that you don't even know about it.
There's a swimming pool down there.
Yeah, and when you're
because it's the bottom of the LA Fitness.
Right, and when you're down there, you can get lost because there are really no signs about how to get back up above ground either in some places.
Right, and so that's what we're writing about, and that's what we can talk a little more about is, okay, it's a really cool thing, and it's very convenient, but how do we make it better?
Right, and the editorial says it's an already built asset that's tantalizingly close to something so much better, so how do we make it better?
Well, right, the first thing is telling people about it, and so that means that there's signage, especially tourists. They have no idea. So they need to figure out a way at street level at various locations to tell people, hey, Pedway here, that come underground. You could probably have an app that would help as well as with the signs and things. And other ways of just promoting the thing. And it is a little kooky because it's not one system and it's not even one pathway. There are various pathways in different places. And then once you get the signage down and the promotion of it, you figure out a way to tell people, then it needs to be kept up better. And, we're certainly not advocating some kind of a government agency take it over. It's all independently run. Let's just get a little more teamwork involved and a commitment from everyone. And since we've been writing about it, I have to say, we've noticed workmen down there that weren't there before. So that part's not too hard either.
Is it about, you mentioned Macy's, is it just about embarrassing folks enough to where they make changes, or is there a way to get everybody together?
we don't like to embarrass people. We like to point things out. And so that's part of it, too. But there also is, there are some folks talking about this from the nonprofit side, and there's actually some government money out there, I think this is going to happen, and there's momentum, and we're a little part of that, and that means getting some government grant money that relates to beautification, and that will help a lot too, and then the next thing is just kind of just rousing support, because business people, the more people know about this, the more people might want to invest. There's more retail opportunities. You've got business groups that do things in the loop too. So we could see some more art projects down there, entertainment, pop-ups and things. This is one of those things that's just out there ready to get a lot better and to be a lot more exciting and be a lot more convenient. You just need that little bit of momentum, and that's what we're hoping to help spur.
Right, and things like art murals and a little bit of cleaning and, as you mentioned, maybe some pop-ups, those kinds of things, those don't cost a lot.
No, not at all, and they make money, right? And they generate tax revenue, too. So everything about this is a good thing. This is kind of a nice problem to have because it's so solvable, and it'll make the loop better.
Michael Lev with us this morning talking about the Pedway. We appreciate you being on with us, and here's to hoping that the Pedway becomes one of the new go-to places in the city. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. I'll see you down there.
All right, Michael Lev from the Chicago Tribune editorial board. We're going to link out to their latest piece on this, as well as to Mary Wisniewski's piece as well in the Chicago Tribune at chicagotribune.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures up nearly a percent, half a percent. NASDAQ futures are up more than a half a percent. S&P futures up almost a half a percent this morning. Dow futures up 124 points. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. President Trump yesterday defended his tough trade policies at the American Farm Bureau Convention in New Orleans. He dedicated much of his speech to explaining why the U.S. needs a wall on its southern border. U.S. farmers, numbering some 3.25 million, have been reliable Trump supporters despite struggling financially because of the trade war between China and the United States. Illinois grain farmer Robert Clem said, "I would like to have known that there was a fix that was going to be done immediately and that he could have told us about it today." With China, every year for many years, we're losing $375 billion in trade, said the president. We're working on that, and you see what's going on. We're doing barely well. We're turning all of that around with fair trade deals that put American farmers, ranchers, and, in fact, America first. Some of the words of the president at the Farm Bureau Convention in New Orleans yesterday. Where did our markets close yesterday in the grain trade? The March wheat contract ended down 4.75 cents a bushel. March corn ended a penny higher. And January soybeans down 8.25 cents a bushel. Meanwhile, in livestock futures at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the April lean hog contract ended 47 cents a hundredweight lower. February cattle up 52 cents. January feeder cattle down $1.45 a hundredweight. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of other stories that we are watching for you this morning. Germany's economic growth eased to 1.5% last year amid signs of a slowdown in Europe and the wider global economy. The growth figure announced by the government's statistic agency was down from 2.2% in 2017. German output fell in the third quarter by nearly 0.2%, but the dip was attributed to temporary factors such as bottlenecks registering cars under new emissions testing rules. It was still the ninth straight year of annual economic growth. Facebook says it's investing $300 million over the next 3 years in local news programs, partnerships, and other initiatives. Money will go toward reporting grants for local newsrooms, expanding Facebook programs to help local newsrooms with subscription business models, and investing in nonprofits aimed at supporting local news. The move comes at a difficult time for the news industry, which is facing falling profits in print readership. Facebook, like Google, has been partly blamed for the ongoing decline in newspapers' share of advertising dollars as people and advertisers have moved online. Campbell Brown, Facebook's head of global news partnerships, acknowledges the company can't uninvent the internet, but says it wants to work with publishers to help them succeed on and off the social media site. The Food and Drug Administration says it's resuming inspections of some of the riskiest foods, such as cheeses, produce, and infant formula, as early as today. Routine inspections had been briefly halted as the government shutdown continues. The FDA commissioner says the agency is bringing back about 150 employees to begin those inspections. Riskier foods account for about a third of the agency's roughly 8,400 routine inspections each year. The FDA oversees packaged foods and produce. Meat and poultry and processed eggs are checked by another federal agency. Those checks apparently have been continuing. States also handle about half of the FDA's inspections, and those have also been continuing. A legal opinion from the U.S. Department of Justice made public yesterday could threaten the viability of online gambling that crosses state lines, such as poker. The 23-page opinion interprets the Federal Wire Act, which prohibits interstate wagering, to apply to any form of gambling that crosses state lines, not just sports betting. The opinion marks a reversal for the department, which under the Obama administration in 2011 said online gambling within states that does not involve sporting events would not violate federal law. The 2011 opinion opens the door for cash-strapped states and their lotteries to bring online gambling to their residents as long as it did not involve interstate sports betting. Nevada, New Jersey, Delaware legalized online gambling after that opinion was issued, and the three states have agreements allowing poker players to compete across state lines. Pennsylvania became the fourth state to legalize online casino gambling in 2017. Now, since it began in 2013, internet gambling has been the brightest spot for casinos in Atlantic City, New Jersey, often making the difference between an up month and a down month for nine casinos. Now, the Justice Department says the previous opinion misinterpreted the statutes. Experts say the sports betting industry will remain unaffected because the Wire Act already applied to that form of gambling under the previous interpretation. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, January 15. The final demand producer index for December is due this morning, and analysts see no change from November. The continuing decline in oil prices is keeping a lid on producer prices. The number is set for release at mid-morning. We also have a couple of earnings out today, including Chicago-based United Continental Airlines, Delta Airlines, and Pinnacle Financial among those releasing the data this morning. Earnings tomorrow include Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and BlackRock earnings. And Thursday, American Express and Netflix report earnings. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, January the 15th.